Sorry, Stella. He's on another line. Can I have him call you back? Something told me he wasn't on the phone, and he'd told her to blow me off. But I was upset, so that could have just been my paranoia. Yes, of course. I left her my business phone number and waited patiently, but no return call came. So the following afternoon, I called again and got Helena. This time, when she told me Hudson was unavailable, I blew out a frustrated breath. Would you let him know I just need 2 minutes of his time? I'm sure he's very busy, but it won't take long. Sure, I'll let him know. Is everything okay? Not really, I sighed. I received the letter he sent me declining to invest in Signature Scent, and I wanted to ask him the reason. The letter didn't say, and if nothing else, I want to learn from it. Oh, wow, I'm sorry. I wasn't aware. That was interesting. I would have expected his assistant to be the one who'd typed it up. I don't want to be a pain. I'd just like a few minutes of his time. I'll pass along the message, and I'm sorry it didn't work out, Stella. I was really looking forward to this one. Thanks, Helena. That day, I tried to keep myself busy, but I checked my phone a dozen or more times. By 6 that evening, I'd all but given up hope. Until my phone rang while I was out for a run. I wiped my hands on my shorts and answered, panting. Hello? Hi, Stella, it's Helena. Hi, Helena. I'm sorry Hudson didn't call you back. He was, busy today. I passed along your message, and he told me to let you know the reason he decided not to go forward with the investment was because he didn't care for the sample he received. It made him uncertain of the product, I guess. Oh, I see. That was complete bullshit. Because I'd made him the same scent I'd been wearing the night of Olivia's wedding, and he'd told me twice how good I smelled. A few weeks ago, I'd been ready to give up and accept putting everything on hold for a long time. But I no longer felt ready to accept defeat. All of my planning talks with Olivia had gotten me too pumped up to let it go so easily this time. I wanted to give it one last-ditch attempt, since I knew he was lying about the reason. Do you think it would be possible to make an appointment to speak to Hudson in person? Helena's voice lowered. It sounded like she might be cupping the receiver so no one would hear. I don't want to get in trouble, but I'll be honest. I think if I ask him, he's going to say no. I sighed. Okay, thanks, Helena. I get what you're saying. But I've worked for Hudson for a long time now. His bark is much worse than his bite. Now, if you were to just show up, he might not have a choice. And he does respect people who fight hard for what they want. I smiled sadly. Thanks, Helena. I appreciate the advice. I'll give it some thought. The next morning, I arrived at Rothschild Investments at 8 a.m. Hi, is Hudson Rothschild in? The receptionist smiled. He is. Do you have an appointment? I took a deep breath. I don't, but I only need 2 minutes of his time. Would it be possible to get in to see him? Let me see. What's your name, and what is this in reference to? Stella Bardot, and it's in reference to Signature Scent. She picked up the phone, and I listened to one side of the conversation. Hi, Mr. Rothschild. I have Stella Bardot here to see you regarding Signature Scent. She doesn't have an appointment. He'd definitely cut her off. I heard the boom of his deep voice through her headset, though I couldn't make out what he was saying. But when her face fell, I knew it wasn't a good sign. Okay. Would you like me to tell her that? A pause, and then she raised her eyes to meet mine. Okay, thank you. She clicked a button on her keyboard and gave me a discouraging smile. Mr. Rothschild said, if you have nothing better to do with your time, take a seat. If he finds a spare 2 minutes in his busy day, he'll see you. She grimaced. Sorry. It's fine. Don't shoot the messenger and all. She motioned to the waiting area. Would you like me to get you some coffee while you wait? No, thank you. Okay, I'm Ruby. If you change your mind, just let me know. Thanks, Ruby. I sat down on the couch and took out my phone to catch up on emails. My instinct told me I was going to be sitting here for a while. I had a feeling Hudson would enjoy making me wait, And I wasn't wrong. 3 hours later, the receptionist came out from behind the desk and walked over to me.
I just wanted to let you know. I called back and reminded him to make sure he hadn't forgotten you.
I smirked. And how did that go? She laughed and looked over her shoulder to make sure no one was around.
He was sort of snippy.
I bet, but it's okay. I waved to the glass coffee table in front of me. At least you have all these great magazines. By 5 o'clock, I figured he was going to make me stalk him on his way out of the office just to be a jerk. While I'd debated leaving after the first hour or two this morning, I now had so much time invested, there was no way I was giving in. I popped in my earbuds, settled back into the couch, and turned on some classical music to relax. I was going to outlast Hudson if it killed me. But at 5:30, the receptionist came back over. She frowned.
I'm getting ready to leave, so I called back to Mr. Rothschild again. He said to let you know it turned out he didn't have 2 minutes to spare today.
What a bastard. That had been his game plan all along. Make me waste the entire day. Well, lucky for me, I had no job and no place to go. So, rather than get upset, I decided to dig in. I stood and lifted my pocketbook to my shoulder.
Could you let Mr. Rothschild know I'll be back again tomorrow? Perhaps he'll be able to spare the 2 minutes then.
The receptionist's eyebrows jumped, yet she smiled.
Sure thing.
The following day, I came more prepared. I brought my laptop, some snacks, a charger from my cell, and my to-do list. When the morning went by again, and Hudson still couldn't find a couple of minutes to speak to me, at least I'd knocked off a bunch of things from my list and cleaned out my emails, two things that were long overdue. In the afternoon, I updated my resume and uploaded more than 1,000 pictures from my phone to a storage website and organized them. I then spent an hour and a half online planning a dream vacation I could never afford, picking out luxury hotels and a private captain's sailboat to get me between the Greek islands I wanted to explore. Again at 5:30, the receptionist came over.
Good news. I think...
Oh?
I just called back and told him I was leaving and you were still here.
She shrugged.
He didn't tell me to ask you to leave.
I chuckled because I'd clearly lost my mind now. So I should wait? She pointed to the glass doors.
He has to walk out that door sometime.
I nodded. Okay. Have a good night, Ruby.
You too, Stella. Hopefully I won't see you sitting here tomorrow.
I smiled. I hope not, too. By 6:45, I'd watched most of the staff at Rothschild Investments leave, and a cleaning crew walked in and started to vacuum around me. I'd taken a break from dream vacation planning to text with Fisher for a while. When I was done, I again opened my laptop and went back to vacay planning mode. Mykonos was the last island I still needed to find the perfect hotel on. As I sifted through photos of the incredible scenery, trying to decide if I wanted to be on the north or south side of the island, I must have become engrossed in what I was doing. Suddenly, a deep voice scared the crap out of me, and I jumped from my seat. My laptop went flying to the floor, and my hand flew to my chest.
You scared me to death!
Hudson shook his head.
I should have just walked out the door. You wouldn't have even noticed.
He bent and picked up my laptop, which luckily was still illuminated and not broken. Looking at the screen, he said,
Going on a vacation to the Greek islands. Good business plan. Have fun at...
He squinted.
The Royal Mykonian. Looks expensive.
I snatched my laptop from his hands. I'm dream vacation planning, not actually going. Though he didn't quite smile, I could have sworn the corner of his lip twitched. Hudson pushed up the sleeve of his suit jacket, revealing a big, chunky watch. While I felt like punching the arrogant bastard for making me sit here for 2 days, I couldn't help but notice how sexy the damn watch looked on his masculine wrist. Shaking my head, I tamped down that feeling.
2 minutes, Hudson said, folding his arms across his chest. Go.
For the next 120 seconds, I rambled on, telling him I wanted to know the real reason he'd decided to decline investing, because it couldn't possibly be that he didn't like the scent I'd created. I even told him it was the same one he'd told me twice that he liked, once at Olivia's wedding,
and then again at his office when I'd come to pick up my cell phone. Then, for some insane reason, I started going into detail about the samples he'd raided and the chemicals I'd used. Somehow my diatribe morphed into a science lesson. I don't think I took a breath or used any punctuation during the entire 2 minutes I speed-talked. When I finally shut up, Hudson stared at me.
Are you finished?
I guess so. He gave a curt nod.
Have a good evening.
Then he turned and walked toward the door. I blinked a few times, sure he couldn't possibly be just leaving. But when he got to the door and pushed it open, it became apparent that was exactly what the jerk was doing. So I yelled after him, "Where are you going? I've been waiting for 2 days to have this conversation." With his hand on the door, he didn't look back as he spoke.
You asked for 2 minutes. I gave them to you. The cleaning people will lock up after you leave.
If any evening deserved wine, it was this one. Fisher had worked late tonight, but he'd been the lucky recipient of my rant earlier while I angry marched from Rothschild Investments to the subway station, so he knew what he was walking into when he let himself into my apartment.
Honey, I'm home.
He held a large bottle of Merlot in one hand, and a flower he'd definitely just ripped out of our neighboring building's planter in the other. The bottom still had a root and dirt dangling. I forced my sullen face to attempt a smile. Hey.
I passed a mounted police officer whose horse didn't have as long of a face as you do.
Fisher kissed me on the forehead and pointed to the flower.
What do you think? The red vase or the clear?
I sighed overdramatically. I think that thing needs dirt more than a vase. Fisher tapped my nose with his pointer finger.
The red one it is.
He went to the closet and took out a vase meant for a giant bouquet, not one sad flower, then filled it with water from the kitchen sink and stuck the stem in.
I think you should call Olivia.
I drank the wine already in my glass. I don't want to bother her. And what's the point? She told me herself that Hudson was in charge of the division. Plus, she's already been so generous to me. I don't want to make her feel bad.
I can't believe that jerk asked you for your phone number and never called, then made you sit there for 2 days. This guy must get off on making you wait around for him. And here I had this gut feeling you two were going to wind up banging.
I scoffed. Me and Hudson? Are you crazy? The man obviously hates me. Fisher tugged at the knot of his tie as he walked to the couch where I sat wallowing.
I watched you two together at the wedding. Even when he screwed with you and made you give that speech, there was a sparkle in his eye. There was real chemistry there.
I finished off my wine. Some chemistry leads to explosions. Trust me, I know.
But why ask you out and then never call?
I shook my head. To get even. Same reason he left me sitting in the lobby. For the next hour, Fisher and I drank wine. Because he was the bestest friend of all best friends, he let me repeat everything I'd told him on the phone earlier without complaining. But the long day of sitting around and consuming too much alcohol eventually got to me. So when I yawned for a second time, he stood to go.
I'll let you get some rest. You have 2 days. Today was for being pissed off and drinking. Tomorrow is for wallowing. Thursday, we get back on the horse and figure out where to go from here. We'll make this work.
I didn't want to be an even bigger downer and say I had no place left to go, except maybe the unemployment line. Fisher meant well. Thanks for listening to me.
Anytime, my princess.
He leaned over and kissed my forehead before heading for the door. Grabbing his suit jacket from the kitchen, he said,
Almost forgot. You had mail in your box. You want it on the couch?
Nah, I'll look at it tomorrow. He set it down on the kitchen counter.
Get some sleep, my Stella Bella.
Good night, Fisher. After he closed the door, I forced myself up and walked around my box-filled apartment, shutting off lights. In the kitchen, a thick manila envelope on the bottom of the mail pile caught my eye. I know that logo, but it can't be. Since I didn't have my glasses on, I picked it up to eye it more closely. Sure enough, the circle with the R entwined through it was exactly what I'd thought it was. What the hell would Rothschild Investments be sending me? Another go-screw-yourself letter? maybe this time with an itemized bill for the food and drinks I'd had at Olivia's wedding, along with an invoice for Hudson's precious time. I'd had enough torture for the day, and probably should have just left it for the morning. But leaving well enough alone was never my forte, so I slipped my finger under the seal and sliced open the envelope. Inside was a cover letter written on the same letterhead as the one I'd received a few days ago. Underneath looked like a bunch of legal documents. Term sheet, investor's rights agreement, stock purchase agreement. What the hell is all this? Grabbing my glasses, I shuffled back to the cover letter to read.
Dear Ms. Bardot, after careful reconsideration, Rothschild Investments is delighted to extend an offer of investment to your company, Signature Scent, LLC. The proposed structure, amounts, and terms can be found in the term sheet. Kindly go through the enclosed literature discussing the details of our proposal. As our offer affects the voting rights and your ownership stake within your company, we strongly suggest you have your attorney review all documentation prior to signing. We are pleased to invite you to be part of the Rothschild Investments family and look forward to bringing your innovative product to market. Sincerely yours, Hudson Rothschild.
Was this some sort of joke? Could what I had said during the 2 minutes he'd allotted me this afternoon have changed his mind and he'd messengered over this letter? But how would a messenger have gotten into my locked mailbox? Still feeling like there had to be some sort of mistake, I reread the cover letter before sifting through the documents. It seemed like a legitimate offer. Granted, I didn't understand most of the legal mumbo-jumbo, but it appeared that Rothschild Investments wanted to invest in Signature Scent in exchange for a 40% stake in the company. And the first line did say reconsideration and not consideration. I just couldn't believe it. I'd actually changed his mind today? In the measly 2 minutes he'd allotted me before walking out? I stood in the kitchen with my mouth hanging open until I noticed the date on the top of the letter. It wasn't today. It was dated 3 days ago. Grabbing the envelope I'd dropped on the table, I scanned the postmark. Sure enough, it had been mailed 3 days ago, which meant Hudson had sent this out before he let me sit in the waiting room for 2 days. What the hell?
Chapter 10.
What a difference a week can make. Instead of sitting in the lobby of Rothschild Investments, waiting for a chance to see the king of the castle, I was introduced around the office as our newest Rothschild partner. The 180-degree turnaround still made my head spin, but I wasn't about to waste any more time dwelling on it. I had a product to launch in just a few months. Olivia had called me the morning after I received the offer package. She was still in California taking care of her father-in-law, but said she wanted to check in to make sure I was happy with the terms of the deal. I gently broached the subject of the decline letter I'd received, and she'd apologized, saying it was a mix-up. Yet, for some reason, I didn't think that was the truth. My gut told me there was more to it than just the wrong form letter being sent. But she was excited to move forward, so I decided to follow her lead and focus on what was to come, not look backward. "Stella, this is Marta. She's the accounting manager," Olivia said. FYI, Marta drinks her coffee black and prefers the Kenya blend from the little shop down the block rather than Starbucks. Trust me, there will come a time when you'll need to come to her with coffee in hand and your tail between your legs, because you're about to beg to get something approved that's over budget. Marta laughed and extended her hand. It's nice to meet you, Stella, and trust me, if your product is half as amazing as Olivia says, you wouldn't have to beg. She winked. Just bring perfume. I smiled, but to be safe, I also jotted down Marta's coffee preference as Olivia and I moved on to the next department. After Fisher had had someone from his office review all the legal documents for me, I'd signed on the dotted line, and a couple of days ago, Olivia and I had met for lunch to discuss basic logistics. Her role was head of marketing, but Rothschild Investments would also provide an array of assistance in everything from web development to accounting as part of their newly acquired stake in my company. All of it would save me a ton of money I didn't have.
but the first step had been deciding where my new corporate office would be. Olivia said many partners chose to set up an office in the Rothschild Investments suite, since they utilized so many of the staff and services there. Considering my previous corporate office had been the couch in my living room, surrounded by wall-to-wall boxes, I figured it might look more professional to meet with people here, at least until I could afford something of my own. At the end of the introductory tour, Olivia brought me to an empty office and handed me a key. "This is your new home. The ladies' room is at the end of the hall. I had my assistant set you up with basic supplies, but let her know what else you might need. I have an 11 o'clock meeting I have to run to. Maybe we can have a late lunch at around 1:30? I nodded. That would be great. After Olivia disappeared, I took a seat behind my big, modern desk and breathed it all in. Not only had Signature Scent gotten more funding than it needed to launch, it got staffing, systems, and a fancy office address downtown that I could only have dreamed about otherwise. It felt surreal. Each person I'd met today seemed genuinely happy about our new partnership and excited to get to work. Everything was almost too good to be true. Which reminded me, there was at least one person here who was likely not over the moon about my presence. When I'd passed Hudson's office during my tour, his door had been closed. But I knew he was either inside or had recently left because I'd smelled his cologne. He and I were long overdue for a discussion. So after I went to the ladies' room, I took a detour down the hall that led to his office. This time, the door was open. My pulse quickened as I approached. He stood with his back to the door, reaching for something on a shelf when I knocked.
"Just leave it on my desk," he said without turning around.
I assumed he had been expecting someone else. "Hi, Hudson. It's Stella. I was hoping we could talk for a moment." He turned and looked at me. God. Had his eyes gotten more intensely blue since the last time I'd seen him? I immediately began twisting the ring I wore on my pointer finger, something I did when I was nervous. But I caught myself and stopped. I couldn't let Hudson intimidate me. So even though my insides felt queasy, I jutted out my chin and stepped inside the doorway. "It won't take long." Hudson folded his arms across his chest and leaned against the credenza, rather than taking his seat at the desk.
"By all means, come on in. You've already interrupted me."
Clearly, he was being sarcastic, but I took the opportunity anyway. With a deep breath, I closed his office door behind me. Hudson remained quiet, but his eyes watched my every step as I walked to his equally intimidating, oversized desk.
"Do you mind if I have a seat?"
He shrugged.
"Sure, why not?"
I parked myself in one of the two guest chairs and waited for him to join me, but he never budged. "Aren't you going to sit?" His eyes glinted.
"Nope, I'm fine standing."
I took a moment to gather my thoughts, but the smell of Hudson's cologne wafted through the air. Did he have to smell so damn good? I found it very distracting. When I caught myself once again reaching for my ring to twist, I grabbed the arms of the chair to occupy my hands. "Olivia said the decline letter I received was sent in error. Is that true?" Hudson's eyes dropped to my hands white-knuckling the chair before meeting mine.
"Does it matter? You're here."
"It matters to me. I've worked on my business for 5 years and put my heart and soul into it. Rothschild Investments is now a part owner, and I would prefer to clear the air of whatever issues are standing in the way so things can go as smoothly as possible." Hudson rubbed his bottom lip with his thumb while he seemed to consider my words. Eventually, he said,
"No."
My forehead wrinkled.
"No what? You don't want to clear the air?" "You asked if the first letter was sent in error. It wasn't."
That's what I'd suspected, yet it still hurt to hear.
"So what made you change your mind?" "My sister. She's a pain in my ass when she sinks her teeth in."
That made me smile. I really adored Olivia. "Did you not want to be in business with me because of my product or because of me?" Hudson searched my face before answering.
"Because of you."
I frowned, but appreciated his candor. As long as he was being real, I figured I'd keep going. The date on the offer letter was the day before the first day I sat in the lobby waiting to see you. Yet you left me sitting there for 2 full days. Why? The corner of his lip gave the slightest twitch.
You asked for 2 minutes. I was busy.
But you could have just told the receptionist to let me know you'd changed your mind and an offer was in the mail. This time, he couldn't contain the smirk.
Yes, I could have.
I squinted at him, which made him chuckle. If that's your intimidating face, you might want to work on that. His smile was dangerous. It made me feel a little breathless. Yet I straightened my back in my chair. Are we going to have a problem working together? Olivia said you're pretty involved with all the startups. Hudson again considered me.
Not if you're a hard worker.
I am.
I guess we'll see about that.
The intercom on Hudson's desk buzzed before the receptionist's voice came over the speaker. Mr. Rothschild? His eyes never left mine as he responded.
Yes.
Your 11:30 appointment has arrived.
Tell Dan I'll be with him shortly.
Will do. She buzzed off, and Hudson tilted his head.
Was there anything else?
No, I guess that's it. As I stood and turned to walk out, he spoke again.
Actually, I have one more thing.
Okay. He folded his arms across his chest.
As Olivia mentioned, I'm pretty involved with the launches of the new businesses we invest in. So you should probably give Helena your real cell phone number on your way out, just in case I need to reach you.
What do you mean, my real number? I gave it to you the day I came to pick up my phone. His mouth formed a grim line.
The number you gave me was for Vinny's Pizza.
What? No, it wasn't.
It was. I called.
You must have written it down wrong. I did not give you the wrong number.
You typed it into my phone.
I racked my brain, trying to remember that afternoon. Hadn't he written down my number? Then it hit me. He'd asked for my number, and immediately after, his assistant had buzzed into the office. While they spoke, he'd reached into his pocket and handed me his cell. Oh, my God. Can I see your phone? I asked. Hudson was quiet a minute. Eventually, he reached down to his desk and picked up his cell. I felt him watch me as I typed my name into his contacts and read the number I'd entered. My eyes went wide. The last digit of my number was a 9, yet I'd typed a 6, the digit above the 9 on the keypad. I looked up at him. I typed in the wrong number. His face was perfectly impassive.
I'm aware.
But I didn't mean to. He said nothing. My brain seemed to be in slow motion as I processed what this meant. So, the reason you didn't call me was because you thought I had intentionally given you the wrong number? But your sister called me. She was able to find my business number.
I'm not in the habit of stalking women who give me a wrong number when I ask them out.
I would never do that. We stared at each other. It was like the missing puzzle pieces had finally clicked into place. And that's why you enjoyed leaving me to sit out in the waiting room for 2 days. You thought I'd blown you off, and you were blowing me off in return. I shook my head. But I still don't understand. What made you change your mind about investing? Hudson did that scratching his chin thing he often seemed to do.
My sister's very passionate about your business. She's had a rough time at work since our father died. When I stripped everything else away, your business is one I would have been interested in under different circumstances. I figured it wasn't fair to hold the fact that you blew me off against you and disappoint Olivia.
But I didn't blow you off. I was disappointed when you didn't call. Hudson looked down at my feet. I got the feeling he was as uncertain about what to do with this new information as I was. Again, the phone on his desk buzzed.
Yes, Helena, he said.
You have Esme on line one. He sighed.
I'll take it. Just tell her I'll be 1 minute, please.
Okay, and I'll grab Dan some coffee and put him in the conference room. I'll let him know you'll be a few more minutes.
Thank you, Helena.
Hudson finally lifted his gaze, but he did so by working his way slowly up from my toes. By the time our eyes met, my body was tingling all over. The devilish hint of a smirk on his face didn't make things any better.
So you were saying. You were disappointed I didn't call.
I swallowed, feeling a bit like a deer caught in the headlights. Hudson's ghost of a smirk turned to a full-blown grin.
Esme is my grandmother, so I have to take this call. To be continued.
I nodded slowly. Yeah, sure. I turned and headed for the door, but before I could open it, Hudson's voice stopped me.
Stella.
Yes?
I gave the perfume you made for me to my grandmother. She'd like more.
I smiled. No problem. Later that night, the cleaning crew knocked on my office door to ask if they could come in and empty my garbage can. Oh, of course. I wouldn't have guessed it was time for them already, but I'd gotten engrossed in typing up my vendor list and making notes on which products I bought from who and the terms. It was definitely going to be a task to move all of the knowledge from where I currently kept it, in my head, to the different systems Rothschild Investments offered. But in the end, I knew it would be for the best. I picked up my cell and was shocked to find it was already 6:30. I'd looked at the time after Olivia said goodnight, and it had been a little before 5 o'clock. That felt like only 10 minutes ago. A smiling older woman dumped the contents of my waste paper basket into a bigger garbage can in the hall and came back carrying a vacuum. Would you mind? It will take less than 5 minutes. Oh, not at all. I need to stretch my legs and use the ladies' room anyway. I shut my laptop and made my way down to the bathroom. As I approached, I found Hudson leaning against the wall right next to the door, looking down at his cell phone. Waiting to jump out and scare someone when they exit the ladies' room? I teased. He frowned and pointed to the door.
Are you going in there?
I was about to. My brows drew together. Is there a reason I shouldn't? He pushed off the wall and dragged a hand through his hair.
My daughter's in there, Charlie. She gets lost in a bathroom. Says she likes the clue sticks.
Clue sticks?
Acoustics. I correct her, but she says it sounds better her way.
I chuckled. Do you want me to hurry her along? He looked at his watch.
I have an important call with an investor overseas at 6:30.
Go. I'll make sure she's okay and walk her back to your office.
You sure?
Of course, no problem. Hudson still looked hesitant. I rolled my eyes. I crashed a wedding once, but I promise I won't lose her. He blew out a deep breath.
Okay, thanks.
Walking into the bathroom, I was absolutely curious. Charlie was nowhere to be seen, but one thing quickly became apparent. Why she was concerned about the clue sticks. The sweetest little voice was singing, was that Jolene? The old Dolly Parton song? Why, yes, yes it was. And little Charlie seemed to know all the words. I noticed her little legs swinging underneath the first bathroom stall. I stood quietly, listening with the biggest smile on my face. She really could sing. Her voice was tiny, but by the size of her legs, I suspected it fit the body. Yet she sang on key and put in a vibrato that didn't usually come out of a little girl. When the song ended, I didn't want to be standing there staring and scare her, so I gently knocked on the stall door. Charlie?
Yes?
Hi, my name is Stella. Your dad asked me to walk you back to his office when you're done in here. I'm just going to go to the bathroom, but don't leave without me.
Okay.
I went into the stall beside hers and started to relieve myself. Mid-pee, Charlie said,
Stella?
Yes?
Do you like Dolly?
I stifled my laugh.
I do. Do you have a favorite song?
I do, actually. I don't know if it's a very popular one, but my grandmother lived in Tennessee, and the song My Tennessee Mountain Home always reminded me of her, so I'd have to say that's probably my favorite.
I don't know that one, but my dad's is It's All Wrong, But It's All Right. He won't let me sing that one, because he says the words are too old for me, but I memorized them anyway. You want to hear it?
I most certainly did. Even more so now that she told me her father said she couldn't sing it. But I stopped myself from telling her to belt it out. The last thing I needed was Hudson thinking I'd corrupted his kid.
As much as I'd love to hear it, we should probably mind your dad. The sound of the toilet flushing was her response, so I hurried and finished up so she couldn't run out of the bathroom without me. Charlie was at the sinks washing her hands when I emerged from the stall. She was absolutely freaking adorable, with sandy blonde curly hair that looked like it wasn't easy to tame, a button nose, and big brown eyes. She wore purple from head to toe, including tights, sneakers, skirt, and t-shirt. Something told me Charlie picked out her own clothes.
"Are you Stella?" she asked.
Again, I had to rein in my laugh. We were the only two in the bathroom. "I am, and you must be Charlie." She nodded and watched me behind her in the mirror.
"You're pretty."
"Why, thank you. That's very sweet. You're beautiful yourself." She smiled. I walked over to the sink next to her to wash up. "Do you take singing lessons, Charlie? Your voice is really amazing." She nodded.
"I go on Saturday mornings at 9:30. My dad picks me up to take me because my mom needs her beauty sleep."
I smiled. This kid was hysterical and had no clue. "Oh, that's nice."
"I also take karate. Mom wanted me to take ballet, but I didn't want to. Dad took me to sign up for karate lessons without telling her, and she wasn't very happy."
I laughed. "I bet."
"Do you work with my daddy?"
"I do, actually."
"Do you want to come to dinner with us? We're taking the subway."
"Oh, thank you, but I still have some work to do." She shrugged.
"Maybe next time."
I could not stop smiling at everything that came out of this little girl's mouth. "Maybe." We both dried our hands, and then I walked her to her dad's office. Hudson was still on the phone, so I asked her if she wanted to come see where I sat. When she nodded, I gestured to let Hudson know I was taking her down to my office. Charlie plopped herself on a guest chair, with her feet dangling and swinging.
"You don't have any pictures?"
"That's because today is my first day. I haven't had a chance to decorate yet." She looked around.
"You should paint your office purple."
I laughed. "Not sure that would go over so well with your father."
"He let me paint my room purple."
Charlie sniffed a few times.
"Your office smells good."
"Thank you. I'm actually a perfumist. I make perfumes."
"You make perfumes?"
"Yep. It's kind of a cool job, isn't it?" She nodded fast.
"How do you do it?"
"Well, it's a lot of science, actually. But what your dad and I are working on together is making a perfume based on how much people like a bunch of different smells. Would you like to try out some of my samples?"
"Yes!"
I'd brought a few sample kits with me today, so I grabbed one from my desk drawer and sat next to her on a guest chair. Opening the box, I took out one of the smelling jars and offered it to her. It was cologne, which told me if a person had a penchant for a sea breeze type smell. "What does this smell remind you of?" Her eyes lit up.
Chocolate banana ice cream."
My brows knitted, and I lifted the jar to smell it myself, even though I'd smelled the ocean the second I twisted off the cap. "That smells like ice cream to you?"
"No, but Dad took me to the beach last week, and afterward we got ice cream on the boardwalk. I got a banana split because that's my favorite. That smells like the beach, but now the beach just makes me think of that yummy ice cream."
I had asked her what the scent reminded her of, and not what it smelled like, so her answer was right. I picked up the banana that had been sitting on my desk all day. "You're a banana fan too, huh? You want to share this one?"
"No, thank you." She swung her legs. "My dad writes on my bananas when he packs my lunch. Sometimes oranges and tangerines, too, but never apples because those you don't peel the skin off of."
"He writes on your fruit?" She nodded. "What does he write?"
"Silly stuff. Like, orange, you glad it's Friday?" "Sometimes he writes a joke. On Halloween, he wrote, 'What is a ghost's favorite fruit?' A boo-nana. Get it?"
I found that very interesting. I wouldn't have envisioned Hudson doing something goofy like that.
"Can I smell some more?" Charlie asked.
"Of course." I opened another jar. This one smelled like sandalwood, oil from the Indian sandal tree. She scrunched up her little nose.
That smells like a bellyache.
I had no idea what that meant. I brought it to my nose to try to figure it out. Really? Does it make your belly hurt just by smelling it? She giggled.
No, sour ice cream does. That smells like the man at the ice cream store around the corner from my dad. We don't go there anymore because the ice cream might have been bad.
Oh, well, that made more sense. Sandalwood was in a lot of popular men's colognes. Charlie had a knack for this. She was also apparently really into ice cream. You know, I said, that's the second answer you've mentioned with ice cream. I'm sensing a pattern. A deep voice from behind me chimed in. Figured that out already, huh? I turned to find Hudson leaning against the doorframe to my office. It looked like he might have been eavesdropping for a while. Charlie here has a great sense of smell. Hudson nodded.
She also hears things from a mile away, especially the freezer door. If I so much as crack it open, she comes running, thinking ice cream might be involved.
Charlie scrunched up her nose again.
He likes strawberry ice cream.
I take it you don't? I asked. She shook her head.
It's gross. All lumpy.
I'll have to side with your dad on this one. Strawberry is one of my favorites. Hudson smiled, and I realized it might have been the first genuine smile I'd seen on his handsome face since the night of the wedding.
You ready to go, Charlie?
He looked over at me.
We're going to dinner.
I know. You're taking the subway. Hudson's lip twitched.
The subway, Dolly Parton, and ice cream. She's not hard to please, yet.
And notes written on fruit and the color purple. I motioned to my office. Charlie suggested I paint my office purple. I told her I'd think about it. Hudson smiled.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Charlie surprised me by jumping out of her chair to give me a hug.
Thank you for showing me your smelly things.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Enjoy your dinner. She skipped across my office and grabbed her father's hand.
Let's go, Dad.
He shook his head like her being the boss of him was a bother, but I could tell she was probably the only person in the world he enjoyed being bossed by. Nodding at me, he said,
Don't stay too late.
I won't. After they disappeared, I could hear Charlie talking all the way down the hall.
Stella's going to come to dinner with us next time, she said.
Charlie, what did I tell you about inviting people you just met to things?
Doesn't she smell good?
There was a pause, and I thought maybe they'd gone so far that I couldn't hear them anymore. But then Hudson grumbled,
Yes, Stella smells good.
And she's pretty too, right?
Again, there was a long pause. I moved closer to my door so I could be sure to hear the answer.
Yes, she's pretty, but that's not how you decide who to invite to dinner, Charlie. We work together.
But last month when Mommy dropped me off early at your house on Saturday morning, there was a woman there, and she was pretty and smelled good. You'd said she was someone you had business with, and she'd come back in the morning because she'd forgotten her umbrella. I asked if she could come to lunch with us, and you said another time, but you never brought her.
Oh, boy. I put my hand over my mouth. That Charlie was a whip, and I was curious how Hudson was going to talk his way out of this one. Unfortunately, instead of hearing his answer, I heard the lobby door open and close, and that was the end of the show. I sighed and walked back to my desk, where it quickly became apparent that I could no longer concentrate. Today had been a whirlwind. Being introduced to so many people here at Rothschild Investments, a half dozen different meetings, new systems for accounting, inventory, orders, and an all-new high-speed website interface. It was pretty overwhelming, but none of it was half as exciting as three little words Hudson had said earlier today. To be continued. Chapter 11. I might have been a bit overeager the next morning. Olivia had told me to meet her in the office at 8 a.m. so we could start working with her team on the signature scent marketing plan. Yet the sun was barely up when I arrived at the offices of Rothschild Investments. Since I was so early, I went a few doors down to a 24-hour deli and figured I'd get a cup of coffee and a muffin. Apparently, I wasn't the only one who'd gotten a head start on today. The line was 10 deep with suit-clad men and women, every one of them with their noses buried in their phones as they waited. When I finally arrived at the register, a kid who looked like he should be getting ready for high school instead of working took my order.
What can I get you?
As he spoke, he took out his phone and stared down at it. I thought perhaps he had to type my order in for someone else to make it in the back. I'll have a coffee, light and sweet, and one of those crumb cake muffins, please. He held up one finger and texted into his phone. When he was done, he punched something into the register.
One coffee, light and sweet, and one blueberry muffin. That'll be $6.75. What's your name?
Well, my name is Stella, but I wanted a crumb cake muffin, not a blueberry muffin. The kid frowned as if I were annoying him. He hit some more buttons on the register, but then his phone buzzed, so his attention shifted there again. I took a 10 out of my wallet and extended it to him, but he ignored my waiting hand. When a solid 2 minutes had passed and he still hadn't looked up from his phone, I leaned in and peered over at what he was doing. Texting. The kid wasn't putting my order in on his phone. He was texting someone named Kiara. I flicked my wrist in an attempt to catch his eye. Here you go. Again, he held up a finger. Unbelievable. Eventually, he plucked the bill out of my hand and gave me change. Then he picked me up a tall coffee cup, opened a marker, and scribbled a name on it. Simone. My brows drew together.
Is that supposed to be mine?
He huffed.
It's got your name on it, doesn't it?
Rather than argue, I smiled. Sure. You have a wonderful day.
Next.
I assumed that was his way of asking me to step aside so he could take the next customer. A few people were milling around at the other end of the counter, so I went to join them and proceeded to do what everyone else was doing. Look down at my cell phone. Fisher had texted a few minutes ago.
Fisher. Good luck working on the marketing today. I know that's your favorite part.
I texted back. Stella. Thank you. I'm nervous but excited. He then sent me a picture of a man from the newest dating site he'd joined. The guy wore only a pair of tight gray boxers. His smile was nice, and he had good hair, but when I panned down to the rest of him, my eyes bulged. Now I knew why he'd sent it to me. Another text arrived underneath.
Fisher. You told me to stop picking men by their abs and look for a genuine smile. That thing is definitely smiling. Wink.
Stella. That can't be real. I lifted my phone closer and zoomed in on the bulge. No way was that all him. The guy had to have a banana stuffed in there somewhere. No, forget that. It was definitely a zucchini. Did penises even come in that size? Surely none that I'd ever seen. A deep voice over my shoulder startled me.
And to think I start my morning off by browsing the Wall Street Journal.
I jumped, and my cell phone tumbled from my hands, hitting the floor. I bent to scoop it up and scowled. Oh my God, why would you sneak up on me like that? Hudson chuckled.
How could I pass up interrupting when you're watching porn?
I'm not watching porn. I felt my face redden. My friend sent me a picture of a guy from a dating site. He looked skeptical.
Uh-huh.
Embarrassed, I tried to convince him it was the truth by holding up the phone to show him, only to realize I'd been zooming in on the guy's dick. No, really.
Hudson held up his hand to block the view. I'll take your word for it, thanks. But I'm glad to see you and your friend are both focusing on the important qualities in a man.
I shook my head. Awesome. I kept making one good impression after another with this guy. I sighed in defeat.
Simone,
the barista yelled. I heard him, but it didn't click at first.
Simone!
Shoot, that was me. I stepped up to the counter and retrieved my coffee and muffin. Hudson was shaking his head when I returned to where he stood. What? I asked.
A new alias?
The kid who took my order wasn't listening when I said my name. Hudson gave a skeptical nod.
Right.
No, really. He shrugged.
What reason would I have to not believe you?
I rolled my eyes.
Hudson!
The barista yelled. Hudson smirked.
He seems capable of getting my name right.
After he grabbed his coffee, he nodded toward the door.
You heading to the office?
Yeah. We walked out of the store and down the street side by side.
Your daughter is absolutely adorable, I said.
She cracked me up without even trying yesterday.
Hudson shook his head. Thank you. She's 6 going on 26 and has no filter.
She sings beautifully, too.
Let me guess. Dolly while sitting on the toilet.
I laughed. Jolene, I take it this is a frequent occurrence?
The toilet and the bathtub are her preferred performance venues.
Ah, I said. That's probably because of the great clue sticks. Hudson smiled unguardedly.
Indeed.
A homeless woman sat in front of the building next to ours. She had a shopping cart full of cans and bottles and was rolling change from a plastic cup into paper coin wrappers. At our building, Hudson opened the door for me. Can you... I dug into my purse. Hang on one second. I left Hudson holding the door open and walked back to the woman. Extending my hand with what I could offer, I said, I'm sort of broke too, but I want you to have this. She smiled. Thank you. When I returned to Hudson, his forehead was wrinkled.
Did you give her money?
I shook my head. I gave her my Hershey bar. He looked at me funny, but nodded before pushing the button for the elevator. So are you a big country music fan? I asked. Is that where your daughter gets her love of Dolly?
Nope. And neither is my ex-wife or anyone else we know. She just heard one of Dolly's songs on the radio in the car once and liked it. She started singing the parts she could remember at home, and then took it upon herself to ask her singing teacher to teach her the full song. Now it's the only artist she sings. She knows a dozen Dolly songs by heart.
That's awesome.
Last year for Halloween, when all the other little girls wanted to be Disney princesses, Charlie wanted her mother to stuff socks in her shirt and buy her a platinum wig.
Wow, going platinum and stuffing. It's like she's 13 already.
Hudson groaned. I don't even want to think about that.
We got into the elevator together to ride up to the offices. The minute the doors slid closed, a familiar smell invaded my nose. Instinctively, I leaned toward him to get a better whiff.
Hudson raised a single brow. What are you doing?
You have a smell on you that isn't cologne, body wash, or shampoo. I'm trying to identify it.
Sniff, sniff.
I know it. I just can't place it.
I'm guessing you're the type of person who has an incessant need to know the answer to a problem. Will it drive you crazy if you don't?
I sniffed again. It absolutely will. The elevator dinged, indicating our arrival on the 14th floor. Hudson held out his hand for me to exit first, and then unlocked the door to the office. Once we were inside, he walked around the empty reception desk and flicked a bunch of switches to turn the lights on. I waited on the other side. So what's the smell? Some kind of a lotion, maybe?
Hudson smirked. Nope.
He turned and began walking into the back with long strides. Wait, where are you going? He spoke without turning.
To my office to work. You should try doing the same.
But you didn't tell me what the smell is. I heard him chuckle as he continued to walk.
Have a good day, Simone.
Olivia and I spent the morning going over some initial advertising plans, but her marketing manager really wanted to see how things worked in action. So I took them over to the lab that would be producing the perfumes and brought along a sample kit to show them the process each order would go through. I loved how excited they were to learn more about the product. After we'd finished, Olivia had to go to a meeting, and the marketing manager was heading to meet a friend for a late lunch, so I stuck around the lab for a while before grabbing a train back to the office. Hudson's door was open as I passed, so I knocked. He looked up from a stack of papers, and I held up a box. More of the perfume your grandmother liked. Hudson tossed his pen on the desk.
Thank you. Are you sticking around late again tonight?
I nodded. I have a lot to do. Your team is full speed ahead, and they've given me a ton to review already.
I've been going over your inventory and suppliers, and have some ideas I'd like to run by you.
Sure, that'd be great. When do you want to do it? He motioned to the piles of papers on his desk.
I need a little time to finish up. How about 6?
Sounds good.
Stella,
Hudson called as I turned to go.
Yes?
He motioned with his chin toward the box in my hand.
You forgot to give me the perfume.
I smiled. Oh, no, I didn't. You'll get it when you tell me what the smell was this morning. He shook his head with a smile.
Bring it to the conference room at 6.
A little after 5, Hudson's assistant called to ask if I like Chinese food. Apparently, Hudson and I were having a working dinner. I was definitely intrigued about spending some time alone with him. This would be my chance to correct my first and second and third impression and show him I wasn't actually flighty. At 6 on the nose, I went into the conference room, armed with a giant file of inventory data, a notebook, and the perfume I'd made. Hudson was already inside with papers spread out, and cartons of Chinese food sat in the middle of the table, along with plates and utensils.
You ordered garlic chicken, huh?
Hudson shook his head.
How the hell do you do that? I haven't even opened the container.
I smiled. Cardboard can't contain garlic. Hudson was seated at the head of the table, so I settled into a chair on his left. Plus, I was going back and forth between garlic chicken and what I ordered, so I had garlic chicken on my mind.
What did you order?
Shrimp with broccoli.
We can share if you want.
Okay. Are we eating first or after?
Definitely first, he said. I didn't eat lunch, so I'm starving.
Hudson and I dished food onto our plates. He lifted his chin to the perfume box and said,
Baseball glove oil. Now pass that over, smartass.
I smiled. You play baseball at 6 in the morning?
No, but Charlie wants to join a peewee softball team. She only wanted the one purple glove they had at the store. Of course, it's a piece of crap. So I've been trying to make it softer by massaging oil into it so she can at least open the damn thing with her little hand.
Ah. I nodded and pushed the box of perfume over to him. Lanolin? I don't know how I didn't identify it.
Perhaps you should stick to gin.
Hudson winked, and I felt a little flutter in my belly. God, I was pathetic. Why couldn't a simple wink from Ben get me all hot and bothered? We'd had 2 dates and nothing yet. I popped a shrimp into my mouth. Can I ask you something?
Would it stop you if I said no?
I smiled. Probably not. He chuckled.
No wonder you and my sister get along so well. What's your question?
When exactly did you figure out I wasn't who I said I was at Olivia's wedding?
When you told me your last name was Whitley. Evelyn Whitley and my sister had been friends since high school. She was also close to my ex-wife for a while. The 3 of them travel in the same social circle. I suppose there could have been 2 women named Evelyn Whitley, but once you told me you'd worked at Rothschild Investments, it obviously confirmed my suspicions.
I nibbled on my bottom lip. So before that, when we danced that first time, you had no idea? Hudson shook his head.
No clue.
Yet you asked me to dance? A hint of a smile threatened at the corner of his lips.
I did indeed.
My heart sped up. Why?
Why did I ask you to dance?
I nodded. Hudson's eyes dropped to my lips and lingered for a few seconds.
Because I thought you were interesting.
Oh, okay. He leaned close and lowered his voice.
And beautiful. I thought you were interesting and a knockout.
My cheeks flushed. Thank you. Hudson kept staring at me. I'd practically dragged the compliments out of the man, yet my face was beaming red. He drummed his fingers on the table.
Anything else?
No. He grinned.
You're sure?
I nodded. But once again, after a minute of mulling things over, I changed my mind. Actually,
let me guess. One more question.
When I came to your office to pick up my cell, you asked me out to dinner. But I sort of got this weird feeling you were pissed off at yourself that you asked. He tilted his head.
You're very perceptive.
I bit my lip, debating my next question.
but I really wanted to know the answer. Would we have gone out if I hadn't accidentally given you the wrong number? The corner of Hudson's lip twitched again.